this is the old, old Good Morning Man, Kermit Edney with Program 42 of a 260 program series dealing with the happenings and the people who made things happen over the past 50 years. The golden years of WHKP celebrating the big one, the golden anniversary. Yesterday we recalled our own J. Fenimore Cooper, our H.G. Wells, our Ulysses S. Grant, and even tossed in a Fort Sumter cannon and an X-ray. Today it's Pretty Daddy, Strawberry, Polka Dot, Rosebud, Bully, Dump, Sleepy, and Jelly, and we'll have more in a minute. Back in the 1940s, Damon Runyon was one of America's great short storytellers, and a major reason for his success, the unusual characters he created with the oddball nicknames that he glorified. All my life, I've alleged that we had just as many real characters and real characters in Hendersonville with equally unique nicknames as those made famous by Damon Runyon. In fact, my brother Grady, who died last year when he was still active in broadcasting and was in the Miami area, wanted to do an entire series on the Pretty Daddies, the Strawberries, the Rosebuds, the Totsies, all those he had known while growing up here. And he did do a couple of audition tapes, but then lost interest. Now, all of the people I'm going to mention, both Grady and I knew personally, but with his long years being absent as he pursued a broadcast career all around the nation, he sort of lost contact. But having the good sense never to leave Hendersonville, I've known them all my life. Pretty Daddy Gibbs. Now, it's purely hearsay, but I've been told that Pretty Daddy made the mistake of being absent when his first child was born. And when he returned home, his mother-in-law picked up the baby and held it in front of him and said, as mothers-in-law can say very sarcastically, "Here's your Pretty Daddy." It was always a pleasure for me to bump into Pretty Daddy. He had a marvelous memory and would recall early experiences in Hendersonville. He always used to talk about the first carnival that came to town, and he said, "I'd get on that merry-go-round, and I'd ride around and around until I'd get so dizzy I'd fall off and just stagger around." For some reason, Pretty Daddy got the idea that because there were many ladies dressed only in their nightwear that would listen to me on the radio while in bed, that there was established, at least in his mind, an intimate relationship. He'd always ask in a loud voice, "How does it feel talking to all them naked women?" But I was so enamored with Pretty Daddy's unusual voice and his unique expressions, we hired him once to do a recording of some commercials for a local firm selling washers and dryers. I'm sure there's a real story on how Strawberry Brock had that nickname pinned on him. I always just thought, well, Strawberry and Johnny have always been in the food business, but I doubt if that's the origin. Polka Dot Anders was a barber, a very nattily dressed barber, who always wore polka dot shirts. When Jimmy Fain was honored in the Henderson County Public Library in the genealogical and local history section, he recalled that his father had been called Marblehead Fain. The name had been originated with a disgruntled employee who had been fired. Mr. Fain didn't drive, so he was always chauffeured by a relative, and Mr. Fain would always be in the back seat. When this disgruntled employee would spot the Fain car coming down the street, he would react in obeisance and yell loudly, "Pay homage, good friends! Old Marblehead is passing by!" Cowboy Wiggins out of Edneyville. Simple, he always wore cowboy boots and a cowboy hat when cowboy wasn't popular. Greasy Barnett, he was an employee of Thomas Shepherd Funeral Home, and in addition to his regular duties there, he also was the ambulance driver. In Hendersonville in the 40s and 50s, as in communities all across the land, you had no emergency medical service as we have today. Funeral homes used their hearses to transport people needing emergency care. The funeral homes had the only vehicles that could accommodate the length of a human body. And Greasy's reputation with Shepherds as an ambulance driver was without challenge. When you heard that siren blow, and by the way, all emergency vehicles back then had the same sound, the same siren, no difference in a police car, an ambulance, or a fire truck. But when you heard a siren normally, it was Greasy driving the Shepherd ambulance, and it was awesome. He'd come through so fast he appeared to be only a blur. And I always thought he'd gotten the nickname Fast and Greasy. But young Tom Shepherd corrected me last year and said the name had come from an earlier career as a mechanic. I have no idea why they called him Dump Step. He was a butcher, a meat cutter, and was one of the best known in the entire area. The only reason I can think of they gave the name Sleepy to Sleepy Brookshire was that he always had a sleepy look in his eyes, even when he was playing hoedowns with his brother Lon. Charlie Leslie was nicknamed Moneybags because he was a coin collector and he always had coins that he was rubbing between his forefinger and thumb. Moneybags told me once that if you use any sort of cleaner or polish to clean a silver coin, it can be detected and makes the coin worth less. But if you rub a silver coin with your forefinger and thumbs, the natural oils of the skin will ultimately make the coin shine like new, and the fact that it has been cleaned cannot be detected. I remember old man Gray Newman out at Ebenezer. He named his son Brownie. Gray with a son Brownie. Brownie was also a member of Academia and a classmate of my brother Grady and one Eldon Leland Smokey Levi, Jr. A few months ago, I noticed a letter to the editor of the Asheville Citizen-Times from a Brownie Newman decrying the position of Senator Helms in regard to the gray wolf. Brownie's letter was so touching, I ameliorated my concern by adding a few yum-yums to my cat's supper that night. One of the most famous men ever to live in Henderson County was Greenberry Hill, who lived at the foot of the first plateau on Chimney Rock Road, before you go on down toward Reedy Patch. Greenberry was a farmer, a politician, an investor. In fact, when all the banks closed their doors in November of 1930, where was Greenberry's money? In Canadian bonds. Greenberry was a county commissioner, but at one time he joked he could carry the Edneyville precinct one way or the other for $50. Very few people knew the name Robert McCall, but everybody knew Fats. He was a terror at basketball games where the fans could be really close to the action. Fats McCall always arrived early at ball games and would get a choice seat near the center line on the first row, and from the time the ball had bounced one time, the nearly 400-pound Fats had begun working on the officials. He didn't discriminate. They were all blind. They were all crooked. They had escaped from a nearby home for the retarded. Fats always traveled with an entourage of loyal supporters who would egg him on. Fats drove a delivery truck for Gossett Furniture, and even though overload springs had been installed on the driver's side, when Fats climbed aboard, the whole truck tilted. Sometime later this year, I'll recall some other real characters. Smiley, Shine, Tappy, Starvin, Jelly, Speck, Curly, or even Pink Gash. Golly, how wonderful it has been to be the seventh child of a seventh child, to be born in Hendersonville, have the good sense never to leave, and with a job I've loved all my life. Sursum corda as we approach the next 50 years.